if the three of us were sitting at the game and they had to go to one of us to be the goalie behind Montoya and Luongo, which one of the three of us would they pick?
It's a hard question. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here.
No, be honest.
Then it would be me.
A long pass to Pavel Bure. In the clear, right in. Yeah, it scores! Pavel Bure!
He will play. You know he'll play. He'll play on crutches. He will play.
Burrow steals, cutting in, shoots, scores! They've slayed the dragon! Now knocked down by Heistick, the flush back to Bieksa, he shoots, he scores! Kevin Bieksa, the double overtime goal! And the Canucks will play for the Stanley Cup!
From the heart of the Smelosphere, it's the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com.
Welcome to the C4 Podcast from CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I am Chris Golden at LightForce on Twitter, joined by Matt Lee at MattLee980 and Clay Emo at CanuckClay for our 50th episode. That is this right, a 50th episode extravaganza. Boys, I can't believe we made it to episode 50.
Clay, you want to speak first?
We have come a long way since our first offerings in your lovely home in Steveston, Mr. Golden.
As we huddled around a microphone attached to a laptop computer.
Yeah, and then we had your cats running around. We are worried about the noise outside of your patio. It was just, look at us now.
I was worried about the allergies first, to be honest. Like, when we first got there, I was kind of like, I don't know if this is going to work. Chris has a cat. It's making me sneeze. We brought Liz over. Liz was like, the cat makes me sneeze.
Liz was getting her words slurred together.
It was pretty bad. But you know what? You guys are right. We've come a long way. It's the sound sounds great. We've got a big following, it seems, across Facebook and Twitter.
Our thousands and thousands of listeners.
We got fans in Sweden. We got them in the United States. We got some, I don't know, there's other countries.
Saskatchewan?
Yes, that's almost not a completely country. Different country.
No, we got fans everywhere.
And this podcast has even contributed to the explosion of haiku mania.
No kidding, eh? Haiku is just off the charts.
People just randomly go off the streets up to Clay and give him haikus now, apparently.
We got guys changing their Twitter handles to reflect their haiku and their name. It's pretty cool. But all to say, no, it has been a great run, 50 episodes. I wish I could be there. If the people who are listening probably can figure it out. I'm calling in by phone, but I know you two guys are in studio today. Is that correct?
Yes, we are.
I'm pretty sure we're in studio, considering someone's sort of got to be in studio.
You know, are you going to be ordering a pizza this episode? We've had that in the past. You go through like a drive-thru or something like that, ordering pizza.
It's funny. This is almost becoming one of those flashback best-of shows that we talked about Liz and Matt getting allergic to the cat. And yeah, I know when I phone in, I've ordered a pizza. I've taken out the garbage, and I think I've admonished a couple of my kids. So it's been great so far.
Did you remember to pick up your kids from places, too?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I was picking up Sean from church. Yeah, you're right. So
he'll be right back, people. He's got to go pick up Sean.
All to say, we're multitaskers, but we always keep the end goal in mind, and the end goal is a great episode of C4.
Yeah, well, as with every episode, we got lots to talk about because we're going to be revisiting the trade deadline, recapping Monday's nightmare for Jacob Markstrom. And at some point during this podcast, guys, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to a Canucks game against the Blue Jackets dated March 19th. And that's courtesy of our friends at the Rosedale on Robson. Are you guys excited or what?
I'm a little upset that we can't win these tickets ourselves.
Mm.
Just out of curiosity, of the three of us, who would want to go with who?
I'd take Clay.
I think I would not take Clay because he's already got like tickets of his own, doesn't he?
But this is tough. You know, I've enjoyed a couple of Whitecaps games. Thank you, Chris. Thanks for being so generous.
What?
Hold on. Relax. Matt, I think you and I would get along well, although I can't help to think every time you look over to me, you wish it was my son Sean sitting beside you.
Yeah.
Just think of it this way, Clay. If you saw his haircut right now, you wouldn't want to take him.
That's right. I got the brand spanking new haircut just for episode 50.
Oh, no. Thank goodness I'm at home.
So, trade deadline, come, gone, and the Canucks did very, very little, just as we had discussed on the last episode. Any surprises there, Matt?
I wouldn't say it was little.
Well, come on. two minor league deals? I mean, both players are in Utica.
One, yes, absolutely a minor league deal. No one's going to win or lose a Stanley Cup based off of moving Dustin Jeffrey for Corey Conacher. But I'm buying in on Jim Benning's move on Sven Berchi. I don't think it was a small move. I think it's a move that could have impact on the franchise in the future.
Clay, how about you? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This Corey Conacher thing, I actually got a tiny bit excited because I remember we got traded for Ben Bishop, and we know how well Ben Bishop turned out. And Conacher started off well, and then I guess something happened, and everyone caught up to him, or he slowed down a little bit. So, yeah, obviously Berchi is the one that people are more excited about, just given his probably higher ceiling of potential. But if these are depth moves, looking towards the future, I'm okay with it. We didn't lose anyone off our current roster, and obviously Jim Benning seems comfortable with the group he's got right now.
Well, the topic of Sven Berchi, sure, we gave up a second-round pick for someone who went moderately high in the first round when he was chosen in the NHL draft. But we have to consider the Vancouver Canucks now have a first-round pick, and I don't believe they have a second or a third-round pick in this year's draft.
That's correct.
So, you know, I thought that draft picks were considered to be
gold.
Pure gold, platinum, and that they would need to be bringing in significantly more than Sven Berchi. And that's not to say that he's not going to turn out to something. We don't know. Only time will be able to tell us that. It just occurs to me, I think the Canucks could have done more. It was a seller's market. What people were paying, you know, is it possible that a Sean Matthias, if he's not going to come back to Vancouver, if he is going to go and try the market out as an unrestricted free agent, that he could not have gotten something in return, whether it be draft picks or even more prospects?
Yeah, I think that's the same thing. I think that Sean Matthias could have gotten a second-round pick, one that the Canucks used to fritter away for Sven Berchi. That said, very quickly, by the way, when I look at Corey Conacher, I think Jordan Schrader. That's exactly who I think. Both small guys, but skilled guys, but ultimately more fringe guys at the end of the day. But with regards to Sven Berchi, I mean, this is Jim Benning's logic. Would you rather have a second-round pick, or would you rather have a former first-round pick in Sven Berchi, who still has high potential?
What are you doing there, Clay?
I don't know, like, about Sven Berchi, what was I doing just right now?
Well, I don't know. It sounds like you're, like...
opening, you know, a cupboard.
Yeah.
No, I just leaned back in my chair.
Oh, okay. You see, yeah, you asked a tough question. He needed to get back and think.
We expect complete silence from you otherwise, Clay.
I got to get to my mute button. No, I'm happy with what they did, especially you got to wonder why it didn't work in Calgary for him, and whether it sounded from all accounts that he wanted to get out, because obviously he wasn't getting his chance, and they were high on him as recently as 2 or 3 years ago. So got to wonder what happened, or maybe it's a matter of opportunity.
I think for what happened to Berchi in Calgary, I think it was the situation he was in. I mean, he was Jay Feaster's guy when he was drafted. He was the crown jewel for Calgary. A lot of people thought this guy was the most talented player in that draft at the time in terms of hands and skill. And then here comes Brian Burke. Here comes Bob Hartley. And all of a sudden, the complexion sort of changes a little bit for Sven Berchi. And, you know, in comes Johnny Goodrow. In comes Sean Monahan. Next thing you know, Sven Berchi's on the outside looking in. He's leapfrogged on the depth chart. And you can't sort of blame him for wanting a change in scenery, because the odds seem pretty stacked against him right from that moment.
Okay, so he wants out because the situation doesn't allow for him to do well. We saw that here when Cody Hodgson was in town. He wanted out because, you know, he looked at his future. There was Henrik and Ryan in front of him at the time, and there was no way he was ever going to get more than third line ice time. If that's the case, and he is still a young player, sure, it's a steal. And, you know, using a comparable, Lyndon Vay, as we know, came for a second-round draft pick. And I would be, wrong to say that Sven Berchi doesn't come with a considerable greater upside than Lyndon Vay does. Lyndon Vay was a role player for a second-round pick. We've got a potential top-line player, top six forward, that only cost us something in the second round. And in a second round, third round, fourth round draft picks are generally, you know, a game of a roulette. You win some, you lose a lot more.
Yeah, I think you can best describe the move by Benning as more of an educated gamble. I think it's a move that makes some sense. Again, if you go back to probability of success, I'd rather have a former first-round pick who still has upside than a generic second-round pick. I mean, look at who the Canucks have drafted in the second round over the last 5 second-round picks. They drafted Thatcher Demko in 2014, Alexander Mallet in 2012, Anton Rodin in 2009, Jan Sove in 2008, and Taylor Ellington in 2007. Like, ask yourself, would you miss that second-round pick in that case, given the draft history?
Demko.
We don't know what Demko is yet, though.
Well, watching him play in the World Juniors, he did look like he's a solid goaltender.
For sure.
But you're right. You know, looking at the rest of the picks, Sauvé got an appearance. I think Rodin got one, too. But beyond that, they never produced anything.
I don't think Rodin did.
Really?
I don't think so.
Well, I know Sauvé did.
Back to Demko. I mean, even if you say Demko turns into a surefire NHLer one day, that's still what's one of five. That's 20%.
20%, yeah.
Yeah, you guys, one other thing, Berche was drafted first round, as we talked about, 2011, 13th overall. So I think you got to look at how deep or not deep that draft was. And you had Nugent Hopkins, Landeskog, and Huberto at the top. Then you got Scheifele and Couturier and Dougie Hamilton. But then after Berche, there's not a lot of guys that have made, and yeah, there's only four years ago, but there are not a lot of names in there that have made an impact. And as a comparable, Nicholas Jensen was drafted by the Canucks at the end of that round in 29th. And yes, that's a very, very second to last pick in the first round. So I don't know, you know, it's one thing to tout how high he went in the draft, which he did, but I don't think that draft was particularly deep.
Yeah, I would actually agree there.
Why, thank you.
You know, considering when word got out that Berchi was coming to Vancouver, it was interesting to see the reaction on Twitter. I mean, JJ, for one, tweeted, "Oh my goodness, who's going in return?" And I think there was this perception
that it was going to be a high price.
Yeah, that we were taking Sven Berchi because it's going to cost us a roster player right now or potentially a prospect. So when the second round draft pick was what was announced, outside of some confusion over it being a 2017 second round draft pick, where that came from, who knows. But people were satisfied. It's like, okay, sure. Now, there are a few that are saying, oh my goodness, this is a deep draft. But if the draft is that deep that you're getting a solid player in the second round as a sure thing, I don't think you see second round draft picks move as much as they did. So for me, I'm okay. And I think that most of the Smilosphere feels the same about Berchi. And in Conacher, just an interesting move. Dustin Jeffrey, how we barely knew
a little lateral, I feel, that move.
Hmm.
I mean, very quickly, like, the comparable for me, like, I like to look at it as this. Everyone else is shopping for Rolexes, and Jim Benning is there at Value Village looking for a Rolex in the bargain bin. Like, I'm not saying he pulled Sven Berchi off the scrap heap, but, again, this is an educated gamble that could have significant payouts at the end of the day. The one caveat that I have with this trade is that in acquiring guys like Lyndon Vay, acquiring guys like Sven Berchi now, these are all young kids who are a little further along in their development than the prospects are that you would draft with the picks. But these are guys who are no longer going to be waiver eligible pretty soon. And all of a sudden, you're going to have a bunch of guys who are on one-way contracts on the Canucks next year, and you have no choice but to keep them on your roster no matter how badly or how great they play. Like, right now, if you sent Lyndon Vay, if you waived Lyndon Vay, chances are someone's going to pick him up, and you just lost the guy you paid a second-round pick for.
Well, that's
right. Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, sure, that you're bang on that, yeah, if let's say Vay gets put on waivers, someone else puts in a claim. But I don't see that happening between now and the end of the season. And from what I can gather, there are going to be far more deals in the offseason, especially when we consider the cap is, for all intents and purposes, not going up. If it does not stay the same and it drops, there are a number of teams who are in a bad way. So there's going to be a lot of movement this offseason, and could be that maybe we start seeing moves. Maybe Benning goes and gets draft picks for players like Lyndon Vay, where, hey, we gave it a shot, didn't quite work out, we're pretty sure we can get back our equal return.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. I'm just concerned that if he keeps up these kind of moves where he's trading away seconds and thirds, like, don't forget the Andre Pedan trade as well. Like, these are guys that Benning is trading away picks for, and he's got to find a place for them, and I feel like he's handcuffing his roster just a little bit by doing this.
Hmm. Well, you know, would you rather have that or a guy who is obviously trying to win now? And I don't know who that would be. I'm just thinking of other GMs that are maybe they also don't throw much caution to the wind, in that they're just stacking their team to win now at the expense of draft picks, and then they're going to be hooped in about 3 or 4 years. Benning's obviously not in that situation. I think there's a master plan there. We might not know what it is, and maybe he's anticipating not being able to sign all three of his UFAs. Maybe he's looking at moving a guy like Higgins or whatever. Name your veteran there. But I just think, you make a good point, Matt. Yeah, we got all these guys that are going to be in that situation, so to speak. But I think he's expecting a lot of push from these guys in the next 1, 2, 3 years and make it harder on some of his veterans. I really do.
Last question before we move on to half full, half empty. Actually, two questions very quickly. Given the current makeup of what the Canucks are going to look like next year, there's a couple guys who are going to be unrestricted free agents at forward. It's sort of irrelevant right now at this point, but where do you slot Jake Virtanen next year? Because if I'm not mistaken, next year he will be in the exact same position that Bo Horvat was this year, in that he can either play 9 games and stick, or he has to go back to junior.
What position does Virtanen play?
I believe he's a left winger.
Left winger? Because if you were to consider Matthias as an unrestricted free agent, and his agent has made statements that they're going to go and negotiate when the time is right, which generally means when you're UFA, the offseason. You've got Derek Dorsett, who I'm positive the Canucks would love to bring back, but he's a UFA, and Brad Richardson. The team already has a glut of centers, and you're seeing some of them play on the wing. So I think Jake Virtanen is probably in the cards to fill in for at least one of those holes. I can't see the Canucks having all three of those players back.
And you ought to, again, consider Sven Bärtschin, where he's going to be next year too.
Yeah, you guys, if I had to, no one's making me do this, but if I had to choose my 12 forwards for next year's opening night, I actually see Virtanen and Berche in there. I see Kennan's not. I see Richardson gone. So then I guess in the bottom six, you have any mix of that Horvat, Dorsett, Matthias, you know, actually, I don't know where Sven's going to play, so... I see Virtanen making it, and I see him. Everything I've heard this year makes it sound like they're planning for him to make the big team already next year. You're right, Matt, in the same situation that Horvat's in.
Yeah, again, at the end of the day, Jim Benning's got a lot of thinking to do between now and next fall, but he's got a lot of time on his hands. Last question now, for real, is prospect rankings. Where would you slot Sven Bärtschin, Clay, among Virtanen, Gaunce, Demko, Castles, Shinkarik, Jensen, and Fox?
I shoot him up past all of those guys except for Virtanen, maybe. And just some of the guys you mentioned. You know, Fox, it was a nice story coming out of preseason. Castle, we've heard a bit about. Gaunce, I'm not completely sold on, as we've talked about here. So, and Shinkarik, you know, a little inconsistent, hampered by injury. But all those guys, none of them would jump out, except for Jensen maybe as well. So maybe I'll go Jensen, Virtanen, and Bärtschin as the top three in whatever order you want, as three guys that probably could play in the NHL next year for sure. The other four, three or four, I'm not sure yet.
Chris, where do you got him?
Well, so Jensen I don't get. And he's got apparently all the time in the world with the organization. He continues to get called up, continues to play inconsistently, continues to go down, and continues to get a shot. Brendan Gaunce, I have no clue. He's like well off the radar. But again, someone who's stuck with this organization. So what do we know? Number one, Virtanen. I think we could probably all agree there. I'd say Bärtschin's probably number two. And that's only because of the... Demko doesn't seem to be me the player that you would put into that sort of ranking.
Yeah.
There isn't a spot for him yet. They have to figure out Lack and Markstrom.
Yeah, I had Demko number two, but I think you're right there on Demko. Maybe I would have Bärtschin at two.
Wild cards, Castles and Fox. Don't know enough about them. Cole Castles seems to have some tools in the toolkit. Just haven't seen them, you know, on the ice. Yeah, so I guess if I were to go in order, I got Virtanen, Bärtschin, Jensen, just because the organization seems to be high on him. I'm going to actually put Gaunce up there above Shinkarik, although I feel Shinkarik should be above him. And then after that, you know, any mix of Fox and Castles and
Demko. Okay. Well, the point I'm trying to prove with that sort of exercise there is that you've slotted Berchi, both of you have slotted Berchi right in the company of other first-round picks that the Canucks have drafted. So in other words, you're saying that this is, once again, a good trade for Benning because he only paid a second-round price to grab him.
Well, you're sneaky, man. I see what you did there.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Yeah, but that's a really good point. We did equate him to other first-round picks, ahead of some of them even, and that's where I guess I hope to see him.
In case some of you wonder who the best is.
This guy's an incompetent fool.
The best of the best of the best, sir.
This guy is an absolute media junkie.
The best of the best of the best, sir. Yeah, with honors.
Don't push me up.
But we just sucked.
Oh, no! We suck again!
I rediscovered just how awesomely awesome my life is.
If this isn't rock bottom, I don't know what is.
All right, half full, half empty. You know he's not feeling half full. Jacob Markstrom.
Come on, he got one save.
The net.
Did he get one save?
Yeah, four shots, one save.
The net was feeling full.
Ugh. Ba-da-bum-sh.
You know, I have to ask you this. Which goaltender hurt the most, Markstrom or in Florida, the combination of Luongo and Montoya?
Yeah, apparently Luongo was at a clinic when he found out that Al Montoya was injured, and then he decided to come back, strap on the pads again, and play hurt.
Because, well, and it's how messy the situation is.
It's how much of a warrior Luongo is.
Sure, but the Florida Panthers signed their goaltending coach, I think it's Rob Tallis, to a 24-hour emergency contract. He went and got dressed because he was getting dressed. One of their players, I can't remember his name, McMillan or something, he had actually gone and strapped on the gear because the NHL requires you to have a backup. You know, and it was just so messy. And then, yeah, you're right. Luongo heard that Montoya was hurt, and Montoya was playing hurt. He got hurt right away and was continuing to, you could tell, grin and bear it. Luongo goes back out, finishes the game. Unfortunately, the Panthers lose 3-2. And I was just reading online. Luongo could be out for a while. Montoya is apparently going to be out for weeks. So now the Panthers are in a situation where they've called up both their goaltenders from the minor league. They got Dan Ellis coming from their AHL franchise, and they have the goaltender from the ECHL team coming up. And Bob McKenzie was talking today that there could be a trade, although he's since gone on Twitter to correct himself, which is amazing because I take Bob McKenzie's word as gold. But he went and said that you can't trade after the trade deadline, but you can sign a free agent, just that a free agent wouldn't be eligible for the playoffs. Anyway, just amazing situation in Florida. But back to Markstrom.
Bet they wish they had Markstrom now.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Wait a second. Before we talked about Markstrom, Matt, you know, you asked if we had two tickets to a game in the contest, which combination of three of us would go. I asked you this. If the three of us were sitting at the game and they had to go to one of us to be the goalie behind Montoya and Luongo, which one of the three of us would they pick?
Oof. That's a hard question. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here.
No, be honest.
Oh, then it would be me.
I don't disagree. I'm not gutsy enough to be back there.
I can't skate. I've never played the game on ice. But
I've never played goalie.
I'd strap on the pads and I'd stand in front of those pucks and I'd be scared for my life. But boy, would I be telling the stories to my great-grandchildren years from now.
I'd be telling it at bars to girls.
Well, that would be your style, but I'm married.
I'd be writing songs about it.
Well, I'm sure you would, Clay.
But then he would actually have video that he would integrate in. It would be like this full experience.
Jason Botchford would love to talk to him after the game.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Jacob Markstrom very quickly. What's your mentality right now if you're Jacob Markstrom and you've just been shelled for 3 goals on 4 shots? I mean, this is a guy who worked his butt off in the minors. He's had a great AHL campaign this season. What is his mindset now going forward when he gets lit up like he did against the San Jose Sharks the other night?
His
mindset, I think, sorry, Chris, is that I want to get in there as soon as I can again. The longer he waits, who knows, the Canucks, as we know, are playing basically a game every second night here. The longer they wait, the more people are going to talk, question his mindset. He's going to question himself, maybe, I don't know. But I think if I'm Jacob Markstrom, I want to get in there as soon as I can. But the question is, when will it be? Is it against Arizona? Is it against San Jose again? Probably not. Is it against Anaheim? Crazy. Is it against LA? Like, maybe it's not until we host Toronto in a week and a half.
Well, so you're under the premise that the horse bucked him off, get him back on the horse as soon as possible?
Yes.
I would, yeah. But yeah. I think the Canucks are fighting, not for their playoff lives, but they want to stay in their comfortable position. So can you afford to put him in if you're not confident in him, no matter how confident he is?
Well, then you put him in against Arizona.
Right away?
You put him in right away. I mean, if the purpose was to get Lack rest, he sure the heck didn't get it last night. And I think you have to play Markstrom in against Arizona. You know, let's be real. Look how the Canucks played against Buffalo. If they play like that in against Arizona, it doesn't matter who's in net. That goaltender is going to be hard-pressed. But I guess you do run the risk that if Markstrom has another rough game, that his psyche gets so corrupted that he's no longer an NHL goaltender.
Personally, I don't disagree with Willie Desjardins' moves very often, but I'm wondering why he threw Markstrom in against the Sharks. Because, first of all, I understand the concept of getting Eddie Lack some rest and that he let in five goals against the Blues on Sunday. But you got Arizona in Arizona on Thursday. It's not a hostile environment. They're a last-place team. That, in my mind, was a perfect first game for Markstrom.
If I can speak to this, I know sometimes the sports psychology is if you put in your backup against a weaker team, you are sending a message to your team that we only need our backup to win this game. You know what I mean?
So is that what happened in Buffalo, is that we put our backup in and so the team thought, oh, well.
But it was a tough situation to put Markstrom in because you're up against a team that is chasing you in the Pacific Division and the playoff standings, and they were playing desperate hockey. Like, this was a game the Sharks could not lose.
Yeah, yeah.
And in turn, it's really a can't-lose or a can't-win situation for Markstrom, I thought.
Well, Markstrom should have started in Buffalo.
Probably.
That was a game that Ryan Miller was penciled to start. He goes down. He's hurt. Lack starts to play. That's the game that Markstrom goes in. That's where Lack gets the rest. Instead, I think Willie got himself maybe tied up into a little bit of a mess that, you know, no one would have predicted. But now, yeah, where does Markstrom start next? Or is this the Markstrom that the organization saw last season? Or let me rephrase this. The Markstrom that Tortorella saw last season, where until such time as Eddie Lack was dead, Markstrom wasn't going to go and see the ice.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking down at the schedule, and we will get into the schedule in just a couple minutes here, but I would not start Markstrom again against San Jose on Saturday. I wouldn't start him against Anaheim on Monday. I wouldn't start him against the Kings on Thursday. I would probably slot him in for the Leafs game next Saturday at home. But that's a long time from now.
Hockey night in Canada.
Oh, gosh.
Clay, let me ask you this question. How does the team's confidence in Markstrom implicate their chances at making the playoffs? And let me frame it to you this way. If the Canucks don't feel comfortable giving Markstrom some starts and they're going to keep going back to Eddie Lack all the time, are you concerned that you're wearing down Eddie Lack and therefore wearing down your chances at making the postseason?
Yes, when you put it that way, absolutely. If we saw what happened to Lack last year, different situation, of course. But, yeah, obviously we're going to go as far as he's going to take us with Miller out. However, I am not worried about the Canucks' confidence in Markstrom. He's a professional. He did well, especially at the start of this year. Yes, it was Utica, but it's still, you know, it's minor league professional. And I really look more at the leadership of the team, the Sedins and guys like that, and Higgins and Burrows, who Edler and Bieksa when he's back, where I do not think they will let confidence be an issue. They will support Markstrom. And Markstrom's got to do his share, obviously, and he doesn't have to be a world beater, but he's got to make the saves when he needs to. I don't think confidence will be an issue so much as Eddie Lack's fatigue will be.
All right, so given your answer, and I'm assuming Chris would echo the same statement, I would consider putting Jacob Markstrom back in net tonight against the Arizona Coyotes. I think it sends a message to him, we're confident in you, we know you can get us this win on the road, go out there and show it to us.
Well, as I sort of raised earlier, if he has a rough game, How does two back-to-back games play into this?
You don't want to think of that possibility, but it is out there.
And he's acquitted himself well in the AHL. In Utica, he's been stand-up. He did get hurt, but beyond that, you know, everyone's been saying the right things about him. Roland Melanson said that he reported to camp, having put into practice everything they asked of him to do. And then maybe this is just that aberration. He had nerves, whatever it was. You look at some of those goals, and it was just if, you know, his head wasn't there. Like, you know how the seal got broken, one goal went in, and all of a sudden, oh my goodness, this is how it's going to be. And then let's say he's stellar and stand out against Arizona. Maybe that's what he needs. I don't know. I'm not the coach.
I think he just needs one pick-me-up game, and I do think Arizona tonight is the best opportunity for him.
Well, that's the only opportunity.
Yeah. And you guys, watching those 7 minutes, it was like when I play, and Matt, you'll appreciate this, when I play against Sean, Canuck underscore Sean on Twitter, in NHL 15 on their Xbox.
And he beat the pants off you?
Oh, it's just brutal. Like
21-2.
Every time he comes in, I'm scared. Like, I'm actually sweating that he's going to score. Like, it's just one of those things, and I just had that sick feeling in my stomach.
You need to turn on the clutch button.
Or the power button when he's on a breakaway, one of the two.
You know, you'd probably do better with six attackers on the ice by putting in that goaltender, Bobby Nunn.
Who's that?
It's no goaltender. Oh, I just remember when I was a kid, I used to go and try to convince my younger brother that Bobby Nunn was a goaltender. And it gave you a bonus player on the ice. I was a horrible older brother.
The best way to see the Canucks live this season is with a Rosedale on Robson Suite Hotel ticket package.
Enjoy brilliant city views, the amenities of home, and seats to the game. The Rosedale on Robson is within walking distance to Rogers Arena in the heart of the Sports and Entertainment District.
Each package includes a ticket to the game in the upper bowl, lower bowl, or club seat, and a suite at the Rosedale on Robson Suite Hotel.
Reserve your package now at rosedaleonrobson.com.
All right, guys, this is it. We are giving away two tickets, courtesy of our friends over at the Rosedale on Robson. Two tickets to see the Vancouver Canucks and the Columbus Blue Jackets on March 19th, 7 o'clock, Rogers Arena. And this is how we're going to do it. And guys, correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm at all wrong on giving out the contest details. This is what we're going to do. You are going to email us at c4@canuckshockeyblog.com. Again, c4@canuckshockeyblog.com with the following information: your name, your phone number, and the ability that you will be able to be available via phone next Wednesday night. That's next Wednesday, the March 11th, sometime around 9 to 10 p.m.
Pacific.
Yeah. For all of our Saskatchewan and Sweden listeners.
And Johnny in Tokyo.
And Johnny in Tokyo. Oh, you know he'll be applying for this contest. And you'll be competing to be randomly drawn. There will be two winners here. We're going to randomly draw two contestants. And both of you will join us via phone next Wednesday on our podcast to take part in a little Canucks trivia.
That's right, a trivia showdown.
And whoever gets the most answers correct of the five?
That's right. We're going to ask five questions or more. It depends. I mean, you got to know.
We haven't decided.
But it's the first of 3 points.
Clay might also ask you to sing a song for us, too.
Yeah, or make up a haiku on the spot.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
That might be the tiebreaker. Oh.
Make up a haiku on the spot.
I think we just found our tiebreaker, guys.
And wouldn't it be a shame that someone come up with a great haiku and, you know, channel the power of 576 and be disqualified?
The 576. All right, well, that's the contest. Again, email us your name, your phone number, and the consent that you will be able to be available via phone next Wednesday, March 11th, from 9 to 10 p.m. to compete in our trivia showdown. We will draw two names.
Well, you're going to say we're going to draw two names.
And randomly.
Randomly. But I wanted to also share, it's very important that you go and give us a like at our Facebook page, facebook.com/C4podcast, because to prepare you for this trivia showdown, we may be providing some form of hint on our Facebook page to allow you to study, to prepare, because in this showdown, you don't want to, you know, be the one who doesn't win the tickets. Because all we got for you is a song from Clay.
Hey, that's not a bad consolation prize. But the other thing is, listeners, when you are thinking about entering this contest, it's not, you don't have to be the most biggest Canucks fan and from a standpoint of know all 40 years of their history and knowing all these stats. No, these trivia questions are going to reward you if you are a loyal and faithful listener of the podcast. It doesn't mean you have to know who we had on as a guest on episode number 8 or whatever, but it does mean that you kind of know some of our features, you know some of our personalities, you know what we like to talk about, and basically we want to reward you for being a good and loyal and faithful listener.
That sounds good. I'm excited, guys. So, again, listeners, make sure you get us your entries. We're looking forward to hosting Trivia Night next Wednesday on our 51st episode, and after that, we'll be doling out a pair of tickets.
I think it'll be 52nd.
Oh, yeah, it'll be 52nd. That's right.
So, I'm learning, too, because, I'm just flabbergasted that we actually had a commercial in the C4 podcast. That was pretty awesome. That was really, really cool. But when are we going to tell these people, like, how will they know that they are the two finalists? So
we will contact them either via email or via phone on Tuesday.
Okay.
That's when entries close, by the way. Tuesday at, let's say, noon?
Tuesday, noon Pacific.
Yeah. Sound good? Everybody's good?
This is exciting.
Clay's ordering the pizza right now. He can barely contain himself.
It's time for Ask CHB.
So here we are, my favorite part of every C4 episode. That is right, we are in Ask CHB, where we ask you, our listeners, our thousands and thousands of listeners, to participate. Whether we ask you a question on Twitter, you email us a question to C4 at CanucksHockeyBlog.com or on Facebook, what have you. We're going to go to Twitter first, I think, and what we'll do here is we will go and preface this by saying this is actually based on the trade deadline. We talked about this earlier. We wanted to get some insight on one of the Canucks' moves. And so we asked you this, just curious, now that the trade deadline has passed, was Sven Barchi good value for a second round pick? So we asked our listeners this, and many of you replied. And I'll let you in on the what's not a secret. The consensus is that people are okay. But here's a few of the responses that we've gotten from our listeners. So there's Sean Larson, who is at Sean Larson ATQ, says, I like the trade. Low risk, high reward move. And Matt, Clay, I mean, that's sort of what we had said. We're actually not seeing a significant amount of risk. And if you were to equate that, you know, we got Lyndon Vay for a second round pick, Barchi has more of an upside. You have Jake D. Hughes, who is at JHugh12, says, it's definitely a great deal if you ask me. Andrew L. at Andrew, it's R-O-O-O-L-9-0, says, the way the Canucks draft second rounders, I would take that trade. And Matt, to your point earlier, that's exactly what you had said. Cody Berndrecht, he's just keeping it real. He's at Cody Berndrecht. He says, I'll let you know in a few years. And then we have Eddie Johnson, who is at That's an RV, says, great trade. He'll be a top six winger for years to come. But the Vay trade, on other hand. And our good friend Ian from Saskatoon, he actually sent us an audio clip with his Ask CHB question.
Matt, Chris, and Clay. Hi, it's Ian from Saskatchewan. Congratulations on getting to the milestone of 50 episodes. I have a question and a haiku that I would like to share. First, the question. In the light of Benning's comments that draft picks are like gold to him, what do you think that it says about Sven Barchi that he was willing to part with a second rounder just to get him?
So I'm gonna go with this first. I think it actually says quite a bit about Barchi. I mean, we talked about this earlier in that, you know, all things considered, draft picks are gold, and at least that's how Benning has positioned them. So he sees Barchi as either a gold or a platinum level player, and I don't think Matt or Clay, if you disagree with that sentiment.
Well, I think Benning was quoted in his press conference after the trade deadline as saying, I actually thought back in the 2011 draft that Barchi was one of the best players available in that draft.
Oh, really?
Now, I don't know if he's given it the old Mike Gillis pumping the tires, but that's pretty high praise from a guy who classifies himself as a rink rat in Jim Benning.
Hmm. Interesting.
I'm okay with the trade. Like, it's a low-risk, high-reward situation for me. And if it means giving up a second-round pick, even in a particularly, you know, deep draft, I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with the trade, and I'm even more so okay with Ian's soothing voice. Wow, that's pretty powerful stuff. I think I might be out of a job soon here.
Yep.
Most likely.
Garth, that was a haiku.
Okay, I'm so excited because this is haiku for episode 50. We are going to channel 50 episodes worth of 575 goodness. And I think we're going to start by going back to Ian and that soothing voice. And it was so soothing, I almost forgot to come in after, for my intro. Like, that was that good. So as always, Chris, Matt, let's get some instant reaction. Let's go back to Ian and his episode 50 haiku.
Here's my haiku. C4 hits 50. How long will they talk Canucks? Forever, I hope. Thanks for being around to talk Canucks. I hope to get many more hours of hearing your opinions about the team that we all love.
This guy's awesome. So, Matt, Chris, how long are we going to do this?
Forever, I hope.
Okay, good enough for me. We got a couple more today, I asked.
You know what? First of all, thanks, though, yeah. Ian from Saskatchewan. That's really great.
It is.
Yeah.
Chris, any other thoughts about Ian from Saskatchewan?
He's not as good as Johnny from Tokyo, though.
Come on, now.
No, I'll take Ian over Johnny any day.
I take two Ians over Johnny.
You would?
I take half an Ian over Johnny.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I was going the wrong way. Sorry, Ian.
All right, let's keep on going. So I sent out the request, and these are all, I got three for you. These are all 50 episode themed for today's Haiku Corner. Tony Smolock at Smoboy. Here we go. Congrats to C4. 50 episodes, well done. When's my darn guest spot? Oh, so we got people wanting to join us now.
You know what? The fastest way to get Smoboy on the podcast is if he enters the trivia question giveaway.
Ooh, I like that segue.
That's right. He could be on as early as next Wednesday. Great point. Sorry for messing that up, Tony, but thank you. We got Coop. This is Hi Coop. So this is the guy. He actually changed.
Hi Coop.
Yeah, Hi Coop now. His actually Twitter handle is at one Coop with three O's, and he says 50 episodes, singing haikus and lots of talk about the Nucks. So there's from Coop. What do you think about that one, Chris?
That's solid. I like Coop. I really do.
I do like Coop. You know what? If Coop wants, he's got a spot as a guest on a podcast down the road.
Okay, so maybe he could face off against Tony in our contest.
If he enters in the contest, that's right.
Oh,
I see a theme here. Here's one
more.
We're
going to have to bring tough questions if Coop is going to be on the podcast for trivia.
Absolutely, and get ready to be sarcasmed out of our chairs. But we got Larry Wong, at Larry Wong 84, and here's his special one. He says, Canucks Hockey Blog, C4, 50 episodes. Congratulations. That's nice.
That is nice.
It's nice how congratulations is five syllables. It fits so nicely.
That was a slow clap, by the way.
Yes. And I got one more last one, almost a bonus one. This is my own. And my friend Mike and I, we renewed our season ticket today. So I actually tweeted to the Vancouver Canucks, and I said, special at Van Canucks haiku. Here we go. Made it official. Renewed our season tickets. No-brainer, really. And you know what? The Vancouver Canucks wrote me back and says that they are going to frame that one in a good way.
You know, I'd ask for proof.
Yeah, I want to see
pictures
proof
of
too.
The frame didn't happen.
Yeah, for all we know, they just printed it out and put it on their fridge.
Well, I'll take that over anything else. So thank you, Tony. Thank you, Coop. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Ian, for your wonderful episode 50-themed haikus. We will get back to regular Canucks haiku, regularly channeling the power of the 575 on our next podcast this weekend.
So here we are at the end of episode 50. That's right, the 50th episode of the C4 podcast, and I am stoked because we not only talked about a whole lot of puck, we introduced a massive contest, one that's going to have you, our listeners, battling for a pair of Canucks tickets when they face the Columbus Blue Jackets on March 19th. Matt, I know you're pretty stoked. I'm looking over there right now, and you look giddy.
We've already got like 8 entries.
It's that's how popular it is.
By the time you've listened to this podcast and finished it, we will have 20 and then 30. And it just grows from there. It's going to be almost as popular as the haikus.
Almost.
Almost.
Nothing could be ever as popular as CHB Haiku.
Almost.
Almost.
That's all Clay's going to say between now and the end of the podcast.
That or he's going to order a pizza.
I know one thing that's not going to be more popular than CHB Haiku. Matt's haircut.
Oh, seriously, you're just lucky you're not here.
It's all the style, guys. You're just jealous because I've got hair and you don't.
And the fact that you're now lopsided. Like, how do you walk down the street? Like, half your head seems to be missing.
Actually, I had someone say that to me earlier today.
Yeah, because your haircut is interesting.
You guys are just jealous.
I'm so glad I didn't enable the video conference chat for this one.
Yeah, trust me. You did yourself a solid. Anywho, episode 50, guys, is in the bag. And before we give our last few words, I do want to let our listeners know they can reach us on Twitter. It's at Canucks Hockey for Canucks Hockey Blog. Myself, Chris Gold, Nat Lightforce, Matt Lee at MattLee980. Clay, you are at Canuck Clay. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/CanucksHockeyBlog and facebook.com/C4Podcast. If you want to email us and you want to be just like Ian, send us an audio clip, C4@CanucksHockeyBlog.com, or just shoot us an email with questions. We guarantee email get included. That's just how it is. We're the only podcast to make a guarantee like that. I am positive because I listen to all of them. And remember to email us your name, your phone number, and consent that we can give you a call for this contest. It is going to be huge. We want to give you tickets. Now, Matt, any final words?
C4@CanucksHockeyBlog.com. That's how you enter.
Clay.
We got a few teams breathing down our neck. It's time to get back in the win column and put these guys in their place and solidify second place.
And I am just so excited that we're giving some tickets away from our friends from the Rosedale and Robson. Go stay there when you go to the game. But with that, I am Chris Golden signing off on C4. We're out.